Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. The whistleblower behind what's being called one of the most significant leaks of government secrets in U.S. history is likely facing a criminal investigation by the Department of Justice. By now, you have heard, 29-year-old Edward Snowden has come forward as the NSA insider who made public previously undisclosed NSA programs that vacuum up massive amounts of data about Americans' phone calls and internet usage. This weekend, the president said no one is listening to any of that material, but Snowden told the Guardian newspaper this.
I, sitting at my desk, certainly had the authorities to wiretap anyone from you or your accountant to a federal judge to even the president if I had a personal email.
What more do we know about Edward Snowden and what he claims the government is doing? Let's start with Mark Mazzetti, a New York Times reporter. Mark, just stay there for a second with what we just heard, because he throws a real stink bomb out there. We know we've learned about two separate programs, one phone, one internet surveillance. Are people looking at content or listening to calls?
Well, I think it's important to try to separate these two things, because in the last several days, Americans have learned a lot about, you know, secret NSA programs, and I think there's a tendency to conflate everything that's going on.
Sure.
So, first off, there was a program that was revealed on last Wednesday evening that had to do with phone data. And it's been called the Verizon program, but it's not just Verizon that's part of this. And basically what's going on is through a court order, Verizon and other phone companies have to hand over to the government information, data about the length of phone calls, who made the calls, who received the calls, all this that's then stored in a database.
And no names, you say who, but not names, but phone numbers and things
like
that.
Correct, mm-hmm. Sorry, mm-hmm. Phone numbers mm-hmm. and what they call metadata.
Right.
And this is all sort of stored in giant databases. It's our understanding that before the government is able to find out any content in this database, they get more information, they have to get another court order and more authorities to go back into the database. And that is specifically involving, you know, the phone calls of Americans. Separately, there is what has been called the PRISM program, which is this arrangement with various internet companies to get information that is online in computer databases, whether it's Google or Facebook or Apple or any others. And according to the government, this is all specifically having to do with foreign or non-U.S. persons. So if the government has suspicion about a non-U.S. person or wants to gather some data about foreigners, they would go to Google or Apple or another company and request that information. And Google or Apple would have then to probably turn it over, although Google might try to narrow the confines of the search. So there's different programs going on, and I think it's important that people try to keep them as much separate as possible.
Well, but with both of them in mind, what do we think Snowden meant when he said, I had the authority to wiretap anyone?
It's unclear right now exactly what his authorities were, what he had access to. I mean, it's a little bit of a vague term, so I wouldn't want to speculate too much. I mean, we're trying to figure out exactly, you know, what he had access to. Clearly, he had access to some very sensitive programs, but what he would have been able to do from his vantage point, with his top secret clearance, it's still a little bit unclear. So, you know, how much he is saying, which is largely truthful, and whether he may have exaggerated a bit, it's at this point still a little unclear.
Okay, and we'll be hearing more about that. But in the meantime, it sort of throws us back into the Bush era, and we're going to be talking more about that with Jonathan Alter in just a second, into that hospital room confrontation with then-Attorney General John Ashcroft and members of the Bush administration who wanted to do data mining and others who didn't, and we'll pick up on that. So that's a debate that's going on. But again, you're saying that right now a warrant is needed, or at least we thought that a warrant was needed to listen in on people's phone calls or emails or read their emails.
In order to listen into the content of information, content of phone calls or emails, and they're Americans, yes, it's our understanding that, you know, yeah, a warrant would be needed. And Congress has reauthorized basically the FISA bill.
Right.
So there was a debate last year about the terms of the reauthorization, but basically Congress has signed off on this. So it is on, at least the Obama administration said, is on a firmer legal footing than it was in the early years of the Bush administration, when there was, as we know, the ability to listen in on calls without FISA warrants.
Right. Well, and we should just note that in a Wall Street Journal opinion piece today, former Attorney General Michael Mukasey argues that the Fourth Amendment doesn't forbid warrantless searches. It only forbids unreasonable warrantless searches. So we just will leave that open. But meantime, who is this person that suddenly Americans are trying to figure out how they feel about? Edward Snowden, he has a pretty remarkable story, a high school dropout.
It really is a fascinating story. As he tells it, it was he was a, as you said, a high school dropout. He was spent a little bit of time in an Army Special Forces training program. He got out of the program pretty quickly, and he then began working as a security guard for the NSA at a facility at the campus of the University of Maryland.
Which, by the way, I just have to jump in and say, a lot of people were saying, in reading that, what? There's a NSA secret facility at the University of Maryland, but that's apparently not uncommon.
Well, it's certainly interesting. The NSA is the largest employer in the state of Maryland, and I guess you could say, you know, it is possible that, that the NSA has facilities on the campus that are research classified research facilities. And he did that for a time, and then in his telling, he went worked for the CIA as a computer technician. He was based in Geneva, did that for a period of time, and then became a private contractor. And then as a private contractor, he ended up working for the NSA for the last 4 years. And so it is a, you know, a pretty remarkable story of someone with a clearly very highly specialized set of skills being able to get access to very classified information and become sort of very much needed by the security state, CIA and the NSA.
So he represents a lot of things. He represents this shift to outsourcing over the last 10 years. I think one in four government intelligence workers is a contractor now. But he says he doesn't represent what some might call espionage of his own. He says he's not like Army Private Bradley Manning, who's accused of leaking classified documents to WikiLeaks. How does he differentiate himself?
Yeah, it's very interesting. He made a point of that in his interview, that he says he knows a lot and he has a lot, but he was very careful in what he chose to disclose. He said that he wanted to disclose abuses, what he called abuses of the surveillance state, and not just throw out anything to the public just because it's classified.
Yeah. Well, briefly, Mark, as we close here, what do you think is going to happen to him? He says he's holed up in this hotel in Hong Kong because he fears the Chinese mafia or someone might get him. He might be rendered back to the U.S. The director of national intelligence, James Clapper, said his leak could risk national security. What do you think happens?
Well, it's pretty clear that the Obama administration and many people in Congress are going to look to try to prosecute him. He, as you said, assuming he is still in Hong Kong, he would have to get extradited from Hong Kong. And my colleague Keith Bratcher has a story on our website now which talks about how actually it is likely that Hong Kong would extradite him to the United States. He chose apparently Hong Kong because he thought that he might be protected there. So if he went back to the United States, then, you know, the FBI will continue this investigation into him, and he might ultimately be charged under the Espionage Act.
To be continued. Mark Mazzetti, New York Times reporter, author of the book The Way of the Knife, The CIA, A Secret Army, and A War at the Ends of the Earth. Terrific read. Mark, thanks so much.
Sure. Thanks for having me on.